We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'll take a few moments while he does maybe his second or third cartwheel because it's raining outside. He's ecstatic up there at his homestead, where he joins us in just a couple of moments. Doug Oster on the Disc at 2 to Pittsburgh Newsline. Time now for another edition of DougOster.com, the Organic Gardener. So phone in with all of your questions, 866-391-1020 or 412-922-1020 right now. And if you're the 10th caller, you win a gift certificate to go out and see the good folks at Sorgles in Wexford. So yippee for rain. Good morning, Doug.
It is yippee for rain. And any gardener out there, I hope you got the rain. Boy, I'm telling you, I was talking to somebody who's not a gardener saying, wow, hasn't it been a nice run here without rain? And I'm like, no, it has not been a nice run without rain, because every day we were out there watering, just trying to keep things alive with that long stretch of 90-degree days. So the rain was quite a relief for me, and that opened me up to start some planting, too. I planted some bush beans yesterday, some lettuce, some mixed greens, and a fall radish, a weird one called China Rose. It gets big, kind of like a turnip, so I'm excited about that. Didn't want to plant until we did get a break in the weather, but oh yes, just relieved to have some rain. A little later on in the show, our friend Miles Stevens for the Davy Tree Expert Company will join us to talk about why and when to hire a certified arborist, and also talk about getting a risk assessment of your property. And the other thing I'm looking at, too, is fertilizing containers. You know, they're using up all the nutrients in there when you get these long days like this. When they do need watered again, give them a little bit of good organic liquid fertilizer. The one I'm using now is called Dramatic from Dram, and it's made out of fish, and it's good, and it makes things grow like crazy. Yes, I do have lots of stuff at DougOster.com. I have a special story that came from a comment on social media. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Got a lot of fun stuff going there. Love taking the pictures. But it's a story of a 101-year-old woman who got a tomato plant as a gift from her daughter. And she lives in a personal care personal care home. And she is just, during the pandemic, you know, they're all separated. They can't eat together. She loves to play cards at 101. So she was so excited to be growing this better bush tomato. I love telling that story. And also at DougOster.com, you can watch me make some garlicscape pesto that I did on Pittsburgh Today Live. And there's a funny outtake of one of my chickens jumping up on the table while I was filming. It was a lot of fun to do. I continue my summer series of organic gardening webinars on Thursdays. It's in conjunction with Farm to Table of Western Pennsylvania, and it's free for anyone on Medicaid or those receiving WIC or SNAP benefits. As I said a little later on, I'm very looking forward to talking to Miles Stevens from the Davy Tree Expert Company, because I had a giant oak fall in my forest. That seems to be happening once a year now, so we'll talk to him a little bit. And Rob, do we have any callers? I was going to try and get to some callers earlier if anybody called early here.
We have some calls. Let's go to Rick. Great. In Bellevue. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Good. Good morning. I have an azalea bush, and mm-hmm. It's really big and beautiful. The other thing is I noticed some of the branches don't have leaves on them, and they have something that looks like a white powder but it's stuck on there. It's like a white powder with glue on it. Plus, at the end, there's like a, it almost looks like a paste, and it's like a real light tinted, like a white with a light tint of green in it. I can't figure out what that could be.
Yeah, we're probably looking there at azalea scale would be my guess, and maybe a couple other problems, too. I'd love to see a picture, to tell you the truth. My email is DougOster@Comcast.net, or if you just go to that DougOster.com, you can send me a message through there, and then we can get back and forth and see the picture. But probably,
azalea scale,
and scales are insects, even though that doesn't look like an insect to you. But if it is the scale, which is kind of like white.
It looks like white powder.
Yeah. But, you know, before I tell you what to do with it, just send me a picture, and we'll decide exactly what it is.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
My neighbor used to use Roundup and on her driveway. Well, she had the driveway removed, and when she did, all kind of dust came up. And cement, because they were drilling and cutting. I wondered, and that's right adjacent to where I planted tomatoes and all kind of things, would there be any problem with that dust being Roundup was used on the driveway and the dust
kicked
up?
I don't think so. I think that'd be a little bit of a stretch. I think the dust of the concrete and everything, I think you'll be fine there.
You think it's okay? Thank you.
Yeah, send me a picture of that azalea, and we'll decide exactly what it is.
All right, let's get another call in here before the break. Let's go to Dan in McCandless. Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Doug, did you ever hear of cicada killers?
Oh, yeah, I've seen them, actually. You tell people what it is.
It's a wasp that doesn't sting. And they're about an inch and a half long. I was cutting grass last year, one of my rental properties, and I noticed these wasps. So anyway, I did some information on online, and they're hard to eliminate, but I found a solution. It's called Bifen L/P. It's a granule. You put it on every 2 months in early spring, and I finally eliminated them this year.
Yeah, they're big, scary wasps, but like you said, they don't sting. So actually, it's a pest that we. It's not a pest. It's an insect we really don't have to worry about because it doesn't sting. But they are scary because they're big and wasp-like. But yeah, they'll take a cicada and they'll just take it down in this little ground burrow that they have, and that's their meal for a while.
We're going to take a short break. We'll come back. Doug's got much more, including Mal Stevens from Davey Tree. Stay with us. Good. All right. Doug is back with a special guest. Doug.
Right. Steve Rapaski from Bee Control. I wanted to talk to him about that last call with the cicada killer. Steve, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Everything's good. I know cicada killers are, even though it's a wasp, it's actually a good bug, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we get a lot of phone calls about these cicada killers every year, starting about right now. They are what we consider a beneficial insect, albeit, like you mentioned, a very intimidating one at that, you know, mm-hmm. 1.5 to 2 inches in length, hovering just a couple inches over the surface of the grass. And they, of course, are eating other cicadas that are coming out now, the annual cicadas. But, you know, they are very beneficial. They're good to have around, and certainly they do get into situations where they are in the way, so to speak, you know, by people's front doors along the sidewalks. And we have a societal fear of stinging insects, and we understand that. So in those cases, you know, that's where Bee Control comes in, and we could certainly safely remediate that type of problem. But we also want to caution our customers and certainly your listeners. There's a lot of products available online that shouldn't be readily available. A lot of these chemicals, you need to be certified and licensed and have insurances. And unfortunately, the black internet market, where you could buy stuff illegally, so to speak, can actually cause more damage than good when it comes to the average homeowner trying to take care of things by themselves.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of whatever that was that he was using for the cicada killer. What is that stuff?
Yeah, bifenthrin is a chemical product, and it comes in various forms. A lot of commercial pest control companies use it for a variety of reasons. And the issue that we often run into with chemical use, whether it be Roundup or any other chemical, more is not better, you know. And you and I have had this conversation even in the garden, you know, even fertilizers, a little bit is good, so a lot of it must be better. And that can often be detrimental to whatever you're doing, whether it's growing a tomato plant or dealing with an insect that can be dangerous to your living situation. So we have to, warn people to be careful about what they use and what they buy, because just because the label says you could use it and you could buy it online very easily doesn't mean it's always the best thing to do.
All right, Steve, thanks for calling in. I know you're out in the bee yard, and as we always say, love your bees.
Hey, you guys have a good day. Thank you.
All right, right back to the phones for Doug. Let's talk to Jake right here in Greentree. Hey, Jake, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Doug, I've had New Guinea impatiens, hanging baskets on my back porch for years, 20, 25 years. And for the first time, the last week or so, when I go to water them, there's some sort of an insect. Looks like a beetle. And they scatter about, of course, when I water. But when they come back to the plant, they're eating these plants alive, both leaves and the flowers. So is there anything I can spray on the baskets?
Yeah, there's a safe thing. For any chewing insect, there's a safe product, and it's very easy to find. It has kind of a funny name. It's called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, and it's not a poison. And so it can't hurt you. It can't hurt the good bugs. But anything that's chewing on that plant, what happens is it just disrupts the digestive system of the insect. And so you can find Captain Jack's certainly at any garden center or nursery, but probably hardware stores too. And just look around a little bit. You'll be able to find it. And that'll solve your problem very quickly.
And it's Captain Jack's Bad Bug Brew, did you say?
Dead Bug Brew.
Well, Bad Bug Brew. Okay. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate
dead.
It. Thanks. I'm sorry.
Dead with a D.
Oh, dead with a D. Sorry.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Chris up next for Doug. Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Hi, Doug. Hey, good morning. Hey,
morning
for you. This year, my red beets, I mean, they're conventional types, are Tall Top, Early Wonder, and Detroit. They're developing a long cylindrical root as opposed to the globular root. Now, the volume's about the same as I would expect, you know, if you considered the volume of the root, but it's long and tapered like a carrot. I'm wondering if that's something odd by this year.
Hello. Do you know the variety?
Yeah. Detroit Dark Red and Tall Top Early Wonder, you know.
Detroit Dark Red should be a nice big round one.
That's kind of what I thought.
They do make, like, cylindrical varieties, not make, but there are cylindrical varieties out there. I wonder, and this is only a guess, because you've grown beets forever, right? You know what you're doing. You've had great beets. I mean, there might have been a problem with the seed. They might have accidentally put the wrong seed in there, and that's just a guess. But, you know, as long as the pH and the nutrients are where they should be for your beets, and, again, you're an experienced beet grower, they should be, you should get a nice round beet. But, again, my guess is, something went awry when they filled up those seed packets.
Yeah, well, one thing
I'll be interested
noticed,
is how big are those beets getting? I mean, they're getting like good size.
Oh well, the leaves and the tops look wonderful, and I mean they're edible, they're good. But the long roots, I mean, my gosh, they look like a carrot, probably about 7 inches long.
And soil looks good. You get compost
yeah.
in there. You got the beet can do its thing. It could get nice and big and round if it wanted to.
Absolutely, yeah. The places where they're planted this year, I've had good success in previous
All
years.
Right.
I just kind of considered the same.
All right, I'm guessing it's some kind of like a cylindrica is one variety, and there's a couple others that grow differently than our normal beets. And there is still time, if you're interested, in going out and getting another seed packet or using, I don't know if I'd use that seed packet again, but getting another seed packet and getting a crop of beets going now for a late fall harvest, if you're interested, to get the more normal round beets.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll try to do because, the greens are nice. I don't normally eat them, but I tried them because they look so good. They're nice.
If you do decide to do that, I would sure like to hear about how that worked out so we would know whether it was
soil or if it was just a mix-up in the seeds. And I'm telling you, I'm almost sure it's a mix-up of the seeds, but I would sure love to know if you do replant.
I have to believe that, too, because there are some things in there that don't have the red veins in them. I mean, they look like the beet in terms of shape, but they're white. You know, the root is white as compared to red, so I'm not sure what I've got.
And there are white beets.
Yeah.
You know, there are varieties. Yeah, I wonder what happened there. That's interesting.
How about a
report a little later on in the season, if you don't mind?
I promise I will do that for you.
All right.
Doug,
thanks
so much for your time.
All right, we're going to give Doug a chance to take a break, put him on hold. He's on the disc at the Sioux to Pittsburgh Newsline, joining us via remote. And let me just kind of remind you that if you want to join Doug, you can call in right now at 866-391-1020. Don't forget to find out everything that Doug does when he's not here with me on Sundays at DougOster.com. A lot of interactive good stuff there. And we've got Boris Shiloff literally just minutes away with that news at 7:30. So a lot of you continue to stay home, and it looks though it's going to be that way for some time to come. So you're using all of the appliances, all of the tools in your kitchen, utensils that you haven't seen in maybe years. You're creating recipes, sharing recipes, stumbling on new recipes. Stay at home means cooking at home, and no one can help you make it better as far as those recipes because of all of the quality products that you'll find on their grocery shelves at Coons Quality Foods, Coons Markets. There's one near you. They've got 8 locations. They're a Pittsburgh tradition. You find the location nearest you by going to coonsmarket.com. So that's what we're talking about, pandemic recipes and what you're doing, what you're creating during this unique stay-at-home time. That's coming up next hour on the Coons Cooking Hour, KDK Radio. Good morning. Ah, yes, he is. We're going to get back to your calls in just a moment. But right now, if you're the 10th caller, you'll win a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's in Clinton. That's 412-922-1020. Let's go to Mike in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rob. Hey, first and foremost, I want to thank you. I listen to you every Sunday and through the week. You're great. And I just got a question for Doug about my tomatoes this year.
Okay.
Last year I had a horrible, horrible crop. I might have got 20 tomatoes all season. And this year I did something different, and I'm elated. I planted them, all my plants, in like the first week of May, and I had to fight through the frost, but it worked out. But all my plants are all the way to the top of the stakes, like almost 6 foot high. I had to top them already. I probably got 100 or so green tomatoes, maybe 70, I don't know, somewhere in there. But, you know, they're all different. I bought some at the nursery, some at the grocery store, some at the pharmacy. And is this just a good year, or did I do something special? Because this is beautiful, man. It's like I'm going to have – I got yellow pear, I got Marzano, chocolate sprinkles. And is there anything I should
do to keep it going like this? Soil of Cleveland.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
That's what did it, the amazing Cleveland soil.
I don't know about that. I live right on the right off the edge of the city. I got a small yard, and last year it was horrible.
Yeah,
for me, my tomatoes.
You know, the last couple seasons have been tough with all that rain. And as I talked about this earlier in the season, with the amount of rain that we were getting, it looked like a good tomato season. And you're definitely something I've been hearing a lot from gardeners like you is that, yeah, they're having a great tomato year. I'm having a great tomato year, except for something is getting to my green tomatoes. I think it might be the birds, but I have to catch them in the act. But, yeah, it's just been a great year for tomatoes, and I'm so excited to hear how well things are going for you. What is the strangest variety that you're growing, you think?
Well, this year I picked up like 3 beefsteaks. I got a yellow pear, which is neat. I never grew them before. They come out like big batches of grapes.
I got chocolate
sprinkles, you know, like cherry tomatoes. Those are already ripening. I'm going to be able to pick some today. Like I have like a couple big shoes of them. I got Mr. Stripey. I got some heirlooms, and ones that turn brown. And I got 3 pepper plants. And I think, I don't know if this helped or not, but I planted the first week of May, which I thought I messed up. So I had to fight the frost, and I was putting these clear plastic buckets over them at night. And I'd leave them on until like lunchtime, you know, every day, and they had condensation under them. It was like a greenhouse effect. So I don't know, maybe that helped it.
That's really early for your climate because you're a little cooler than we are. What made you start that early?
We had some hot weather, and I went and bought all these tomato plants, and I was keeping them in the, you know, little containers. They come in and watering them, and they were only like 6-8 inches, and they were, you know, they were starting to droop, you know, the leaves were curling up and stuff. So I said, man, let me get these in the ground. You know, if I mess them up, I'll go buy more. But, you know, I only have one tomato plant that's a runt, which is actually doing good. But, you know, I just topped all mine the other night. They're all to the top of the stakes already, you know. And it's like, wow. So, you know, is there any – because I've been using this organic food I bought at the local nursery around here. It says put it on every 14 days. And I actually forgot the last – to put it on a couple weeks ago, and I just put some on yesterday. But I don't know, maybe that's part of it too. But it's a, you know, it's a beautiful year. I plan on, you know, being able to cook and freeze and.
All right, great news, my friend. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Time now for.
All right, we're talking trees with Miles Stevens from the Davy Tree Expert Company. And, Miles, I had a huge oak tree in the woods fall during that storm. You don't have to convince me why I need a certified arborist to deal with that, because no human being, regular human being, could cut that tree up. But tell me a little bit about why it's important to get a certified arborist to come take a look at your property or tree problems.
Well, a certified arborist can, you know, address or see defects that most people won't see. You know, for example, close to where I live, I've been one lane I go down, the Washington black locust trees had these conks, you know, indication of decay on. I kept thinking, boy, something's going to happen to that one day. Well, we had our storms there, you know, Friday night there, sitting in the living room and the power went out. And then my wife went, so we decided we'd get some food and get something to go. And she came back, she said, Carton Lane's closed. There's a tree down. I said, was it close to the corner? I said, yep. She goes, oh, yeah. And, well, it was that black locust tree. Finally came down, took the power wires down, and took a pole down and everything. So, you know, a certified arborist can identify those potential hazards and see those type of defects, you know, whether it's a structural type issue. Or like hunks and that, there's something definitely going on there. And they can also identify those things which are not an issue. You know, I had a call here recently, somebody said, the bark's coming off my tree. Another, you know, fellow said that it was going to die. I went out, well, it was just a young swamp white oak and just natural for the bark, outer bark to peel off and come off. So it wasn't a problem. So, you know, but arborists can tell the difference. They can identify.
Yeah, and you can actually go to a home and do an assessment, right? Just look at the landscape, look at the trees, and let people know, hey, this needs to be dealt with or this doesn't, right?
Exactly. I mean, when I walk up to a property, I go into a property, and an arborist is going to go on the property, walk up to the tree. I think the first thing you're looking at is the base of the tree, and then you start working your way on up. And you're looking for, you know, a girly root, that type of thing, or some sort of an issue with the base decay, or too much mulch or whatever, all those type of things. And you sort of work your way up the tree and start looking for, as I said, structural type things that might be going on there. So definitely, you're going to go through and evaluate. You always start at the bottom of the tree and work your way up.
You know, in my case with this big oak, there's no question I need the team from Davy to come out. And they've been out about once a year, the way things are going in my forest. But if I had a tree issue and I was thinking about doing the work myself, how would I decide whether I need a certified arborist or I can do it myself?
Depends sort of, you know, on your skill level. You know, somebody like yourself that does a lot.
Yeah, you know my skill level.
Well, but you do a lot with plants or whatever, and I think, you know, you can sort of figure what, you know, how big a project can I handle, and small tree right. Or thing you might deal with. You start thinking about, boy, you know, boy, I hope this goes the right way, or what am I going to do with all the debris, or what am I going to do? And then at that point in time, I think you need to start thinking, I need to get somebody in here that knows what they're doing, because I'm going to end up with this huge mess, and what am I going to do? And things may not go the way I would like them to go as planned. So at that point in time, you know, and then, like I said, you're not sure, you know, what the tree is possibly. You know, so how are you going to decide what's the proper course of action?
As a homeowner, you certainly don't want to be up on a ladder with a chainsaw. That is an accident waiting to happen.
No, and you see that, it's pretty scary, and or you'll see a situation where a tree is hanging over the house. It does need to come down. And what a homeowner will do, they'll cut the portion of the tree off that's not over the house. Well, unfortunately, what they've left now is a portion over the house, which now is the part of the tree that was not over the house, which you could have used in the removal process.
Right.
It's not there anymore. Now they've suddenly made it a lot more complicated. So, but it's, you know, if you should just start thinking about how you're going to, what you're going to need and how you're going to haul everything away and that type of things. Like I said, even going back to, you know, what you should be doing. You know, once again, you know, if you don't know the kind of tree and you decide you're going to do some pruning or think there's some big dead limbs come off, you decide you're going to prune them off, or you find out after you've done it, it's actually a nice oak tree and now you've done some pruning to it and you're opening up the possibility of oak wilt or elm. You know, you're pruning right now and you decide you have to take care of some issues and then you find out later on, maybe I shouldn't have done that because now I can, you know, encourage those sap-feeding insects to come in to carry disease, and now I have a whole other issue to deal with.
All right, Miles, we've got about a minute. How did this rain, I mean, I know it's a positive for the trees, but is there any negative to all this rain for the trees, or is it pure positive?
Well, I'm going to say the rain itself is going to be pure positive. Always the thing concerned with is, you know, the wind that accompanied, you know, there once again Friday night, there, that wind came along and all of a sudden just, trees that might have been struggling a little bit, you know, and they're suddenly exposed to the high winds. That's an issue. I mean, now at this point in time, as hot as it's been, I would take rain as positive. You know, I'm not going to think that there's a negative component to it at this point in time. I mean, you know, the wind and that type of thing, it's like, well, that's obviously a negative if it caused extensive damage, but rain at this point, I'll take it. You know, that's we need it badly.
All right, Miles, stick around. We might have some tree questions, and I have my pawpaw tree report for you. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts at Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
Stay with us. Coming back with Miles and Doug. And, of course, right after the news at 8, Joe and Frank, then T.C. Coons cooking on Rob Pratt Sunday, KDK Radio. Good morning. Yeah, he is. A couple of more minutes left with Doug today. We've got a couple of calls from Miles Stevens having to do with trees. He, of course, Davey Tree, the Davey Tree experts. Let's go to Ed in Indiana. Hey, Ed, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm looking for some information on a woolly adelgia for hemlocks. My neighbor has a couple on his, and how serious are they?
They can be serious if they, you end up with a large enough number of those. They sort of slowly wear the tree down, and they suck the energy out of the foliage or whatever. You'll see the plant slowly decline. So that if there's enough on there, it certainly can be a serious enough problem. It's been a major issue in the forested areas of Pennsylvania, moving in from the east for years, and now we're spending the last 5 or 6 years we've seen a substantial increase in population around here. Over the last couple of years, we had a couple hard winters prior to, and that sort of knocked them down. But they can become a serious issue on your hemlocks.
And this is really a bad year for them. I've got hemlocks and Miles. It's just they're just covered. And I've been using horticultural oil to spray what I can reach. But you know, if you've got a tree that's 20 foot, 30 foot, 40 foot tall, you need the pros to come in and deal with it, right?
Right. And unfortunately, woolly adelgia, hemlock woolly adelgia is susceptible, can be controlled, you know, with insecticides, and there are systemics you can use and whatnot. So the good part of it is if you just have, you know, if you just have a few trees, it's easy to control, relatively speaking. It's not like it's the end of the world. The problem, of course, in the bigger scope of things, what do you do with the forest, and that's a whole different issue. But a few hemlocks in your yard, you can be successfully treated. They are susceptible to different insecticides.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call. Doug.
Miles, I wanted to tell you about my pawpaw trees. Miles and I are both into a tree called pawpaw, and it makes this tropical fruit that's kind of a cross between a mango and a banana, but it takes a few years to get these trees going. And I knew I was going to be talking to you today, and since we both have this interest in pawpaws, I went up to my little pawpaw orchard and saw that those trees are filled with fruit. And so in September, I'll be harvesting. I'll get you some. But where are your trees at?
Well, they're still pretty young. So I'm looking at my one tree. It's probably about 6 foot tall. The other one's probably about 4.5 to 5 foot. So Well, we've, you know, I think they're still a little too young to be producing any fruit. I didn't see any flowering or whatever, so I'm hopeful. But I did go out to my favorite pawpaw stand out at the Raccoon Park, and it's a, you know, I'd say a stand that covers a 50 by 60 area. Still no fruit. And that's what's bizarre about that.
I know. It's interesting. This is a native tree, and I've seen the same things at different places. I see them a lot in down Fayette County along the river. There's a big stand of them at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, but again, we don't see fruit. And the tree is pollinated by flies early in the spring. There's little kind of nondescript purple flowers. And maybe that's the issue, but I just feel lucky to have pawpaws on mine. And as I said, when they're ready, I'll have to get you a couple. It's a fun tree to grow, that's for sure.
Yeah, the only bad thing with mine, you know, I've been knocking Japanese beetles off mine, so that's another pest we've been seeing sort of fly around here in larger numbers than I have
the other thing
in the
about
past
those,
several.
The other thing about those pawpaws, Miles, is they'll start to sucker like crazy from the bottom. Have you ever started doing that yet? I mean, I've got hundreds of them underneath there now.
No, mine have not yet. They have not done that yet.
Well, Miles, I sure appreciate you coming on. Always great to talk to somebody from Davy Tree. And remember, you can always call those experts from Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-TREE. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Miles, Doug, have a great week. Great job. Thank you so much. And to all of the colorers, we appreciate it. In the meantime, sit back, relax. We got a couple of minutes to get us to the top of the hour. And then Boris Shylov for the latest news. And then Joan Frank Dentisi. It's the Coombs Cooking Hour today on KDK Radio. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock, it is one of Barron's top 100 financial advisors year after year. First Vice President Kurt Carlson in the air chair today. Morning commentary for Jim Meredith, who's got the day off. And it's the advisory team looking back at quarter number two and looking ahead to quarter number three. Heffron, Tillotson, your money and you, a chance for 2 hours for you to call in and get all of your financial questions answered. Rob Pratt Sunday continues in moments. KDK Radio, good morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.